This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, listeners. A couple episodes back, we crossed a very important milestone. 250 episodes. 250 episodes. That's almost 250 different search terms, 250 deep dives down different dirty rabbit holes, and probably triple that number of porn videos that we've considered, watched, reviewed, and/or rejected so that you didn't have to. Frankly, my genitals and my eyeballs are a little sore from it all. Thank you. Hey, you know, by the way, if you're ever looking for a way to commemorate your fanship or to support us in making another 250 episodes, we have a Patreon. You can subscribe for as low as $3 a month, and we have perks like merchandise discounts, blooper reels, extra clip reviews, thirst traps seem to be very popular, and we've even started a series that we call The Pre-Cum, which is basically a bonus podcast. Rachel and I hop on before we record our episodes, and we shoot the shit about our latest sexual adventures and also answer questions submitted by listeners like you. That's right, you can genuinely ask us anything, and we'll honestly probably respond. We've yet to encounter a question we couldn't handle. Gauntlet thrown, famous last words. You can find us at patreon.com/girlsonporn.
Welcome to Girls on Porn. I'm Rachel.
I'm Laura.
And we love porn.
This is our porn review podcast.
We talk about what we love and we roast what we hate.
Helping you find hot, ethical, just plain better porn for your spank bank.
And we're looking at everything.
Before we introduce the topic, we have a raw little segment for you today.
69 seconds of sex news.
We've pulled headlines from the news to keep you informed and horny. Here we go.
Thanks to a $100,000 grant from Bill and Melinda Gates, researchers out of Boston University have developed a condom that needs no lubricant. Oh! Instead, the rubber features a hydrophilic polymer that binds to the latex and then becomes slippery when it comes into contact with moisture. Ben Shapiro, eat your heart out. This thing works thanks to wet-ass pussies.
Does size matter? Researchers at the University of Kent set out to answer this question by analyzing 265 sex toys. They found that, at least when it comes to penetrative toys, girth is king. The researchers concluded that women don't place considerable emphasis on large phallus size. I have to say that the study sounds a little reductive, but if anyone is out there with a dick that looks and vibrates like Hitachi, I'd love to hear from you.
The female European common frog, Rana Temperania, has come up with a sad way to refuse sex. According to Carolyn Dietrich and her team at Berlin Natural History Museum, the European common frog has a very short mating window, during which several males will attempt to mate with the same female, sometimes leading to deadly clashes as the frogs topple one another. The females have learned that if they're already dead, there's nothing to fight over. So they've started playing dead to avoid mating. Even in the frog world, females never stood a chance.
Fine, we'll talk about the Dune 2 Fleshlight. The promotional popcorn bucket for the highly anticipated sequel has been released to much fanfare. Its design is emblematic of the Arrakis worm, one of the iconic creatures in the Duneverse. The design features a mouth with sharp teeth and a tight opening up top, where you'd traditionally find an unadorned wine opening. Fans and critics alike have commented that this bad boy looks like a sci-fi version of a fleshlight. Woo, can't wait for the Godzilla versus Kong dong! Am I right?
Heyo!
Wow. I did see Dune 2 last night, and I have to say I loved it. And I almost thought about getting the promotional bucket, but then I was like, what if we go out afterwards and I have to like carry
just like
around?
Have this fleshlight, this like massive fleshlight.
I was like,
with
what
you?
Do I have to carry it around?
Isn't
you
it
know?
Weirdly pricey too? Isn't
yeah,
it like,
only like $50? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you then don't I was need like, that just for the bit.
Right. Like I was like, I kind of wanted to get it. It's like, you know, I recently went to Disney World and everyone likes to buy their like limited edition collector's items, like refillable popcorn buckets. And I was like, that's my version of that, you know?
Is getting that at Disneyland?
No, just getting the one at the movie theater, the Dune one, the Fleshlight one.
I see. Yeah.
What if I brought it to Disney World? That's kind of funny.
Just as a talking piece.
Yeah.
Just to show the kids and like, what they have to look forward to.
I just want them to say, that's not one of ours. That doesn't work here. And I'm like, what works?
Oh, it does the job.
It works.
Did you see the video of the woman putting the Fleshlight inside of it?
No.
She was like, I went to Dune 2, and I have the answer for all of you. And then she opens it, puts a Fleshlight inside, and closes it.
Closes
it fits perfectly. She's like, it fits.
Wow.
So I feel like somebody knew.
They knew what they were doing.
Somebody knew.
Of course they did. I mean, the thing looks like a big butthole, you know, if you've seen the movie.
It looks like a very loose, very, like, tender, open, ready butthole.
But, like, it is a big butthole.
Yeah.
And who doesn't love a big butthole? Speaking of which.
Speaking of, there's our pivot.
Yeah.
There's our transition.
We always find a way.
Our segue.
Today's topic is bareback. Which is similar to other topics that we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the twist. It's gay.
Surprise. We gotcha. Brought you in for the raw sex. Keeping you here for the gay stuff.
We never ever did like one raw sex, did we? Or unprotected. We definitely did a condoms episode. And I know we've done cream pie a few times.
Yes.
But we've never done like raw sex.
We've danced around unprotected sex.
Of course.
But I don't think we've specifically featured the gay genre.
Yes.
And even talked about like the history of it.
Yes, bareback.
Uh-huh. Or why bareback like is a gay thing.
Yes.
Like why it's more taboo in that space.
Mm-hmm.
Which
there's
we should get into.
Reclamation here.
Yeah.
You know? Like most things. Like a lot of things in, you know,
Queer
culture.
Yeah.
The term queer, even.
Mm-hmm.
So a quick definition. It's an LGBT slang term. Bareback sex comes from the equestrian term bareback, which is the practice of riding a horse without a saddle.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a horse girl?
Not really. I didn't have the resources to really be a horse girl. I definitely went through a horse phase.
Yeah.
I was trying to draw the damn horse knees. Like I was, you know, when you figure out their legs go together and you're like, that doesn't make any fucking sense. I definitely like.
Why was that such a thing? It was like everyone learned how to draw a horse at some point in like elementary school.
It's because it was fucking hard.
Yes.
And because you'd like doodle, like everybody can kind of do a dolphin.
Right.
To an extent that isn't embarrassing.
Right.
But you try to do a horse and you're literally doing the legs the wrong way.
Yeah.
Like remember when people draw them like going out and then it, like.
Yeah.
Or galloping this way and like, it's like, no, when horses gallop, they like come in this like this.
Yeah.
They sort of come in together. I definitely had like a horse toy collection. I had some horses around, some little horses, some like whatever you call this kind of toy horse.
Yeah.
Medium doesn't feel right, but like bigger than the tiny minis.
Yes.
And I maybe took like 2 horseback riding lessons. Like I lived in Colorado, so like occasionally you
like
go on a horseback ride.
Yeah.
I was a little bit of a cowgirl. Like I was into the it was via cowgirl culture. But like I can't like hop on a horse and like gallop into the sunset.
I wish I could.
You know?
Yeah.
I feel like I could.
Yeah.
But like whose horse am I stealing?
Yeah.
Where? Like there's logistics that we would need to take into consideration. Mm-hmm. And I certainly wasn't the kind of horse girl. Like I was more cow ranch leaning than like
cattle,
or than like New England equestrian.
I
when we were talking about the origin of the term, I immediately thought about like equestrian kink stuff,
yes,
and like the pants and the and riding the, crop,
the hat,
the accessories,
yes,
that are in the kink
butt plug
world.
With the horse tail,
granted, like chaps and cowboy stuff is in there too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wasn't quite in that world so much as just like a girl who read Little House on the Prairie and wanted to run into the woods. And like there was some horse stuff vaguely involved in that, you know?
Yeah. I had a lot of My Little Ponies.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had some. Yeah. I was like, hey, my sister was more into them. They were around. It was more like I inherited some of those than like they were the coveted toy.
Yeah.
But they were definitely like part of my era.
Yeah. I wish I could have been a horse girl. I feel like I have horse girl energy.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what that means, actually, now that I say it out loud.
I'm wondering what it means now that you say it out loud, too. But is it just that we think horse girls are horny?
Yes.
So we're like, we're horse girls because we're horny girls.
Yes.
and there was probably some element of...
Yeah, you're putting pressure on your...
What was the movie with Brendan Fraser where, like, he's with the horse? Isn't there some movie where there's,
we're
like, some...
off the rails here. We're absolutely going off the rails.
Isn't there a movie... Is it Brendan Fraser? Is it like...
Wow, if you would have told me that Brendan Fraser was going to be cut and talked about in the Fairback episode...
Well, we were talking about Brendan Fraser then, not whale Brendan Fraser.
Right.
Is it George of the Jungle or something? I feel like there's some movie where, like, he's animalistic.
Yeah.
And he's, like, with the horses.
Mm.
And some women are like, damn.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Like, I'm just trying to think about connective tissue between horses and sexuality.
Well, I think that there's something, I mean, like, if there's pressure as a woman, you know what I mean? Like, you're putting,
no, I don't. There's pressure as, like, a woman.
Well, no, I mean, like, there's,
oh,
physical,
just the
pressure.
Positioning,
yeah,
of
the positioning
it.
Of it.
Yeah,
is a,
and the rumors that, like, was it Catherine the Great who supposedly fucked her horse?
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
It's definitely something I was aware of in early adolescence. Of like, if you hump a horse, will that be a thing?
Right.
Well, is that a stimulant? You know, like,
horses also. Okay, we got to get back to actually Bareback. Yeah.
Wait, what were you going to say?
No, I don't. I can't even go there.
Okay.
Okay. So, the history of the term
is gay. To be clear, and not really as much to do with equestrian kink as we just started to vaguely talk about,
which is an episode in itself, and we should do that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, the first time that we saw the term used was actually in the 1960s. It appeared in print in 1968. It was used by GIs during the Vietnam War, using, you know, talking about sex without a condom.
Yeah.
Going in or riding bareback. It was included in the 1972 publication, A Playboy's Book of Forbidden Words, a liberated dictionary of improper English.
Ooh.
And then, you know, we'd see it here and there in print in the 80s. And then it really kind of came in during the AIDS epidemic.
Yeah. And bareback was sort of the standard ahead of the AIDS epidemic, like in the golden age of porn. Like, nobody was wearing condoms, especially in the gay space.
Right. Before AIDS, condom usage was at, like, amongst, like, American men, gay men, it was at, like, 22%.
Yeah, super low. Yeah. 22% feels wild to me, just for, like, general sex.
Right. I mean, condomless sex in general was, like, the norm.
The norm.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, especially because we had antibiotics, you know, you could cure any, like, sort of
cure
STIs.
Syphilis and chlamydia. Yeah, like, exactly. We were gonorrhea. At that point where, like, those were just infections that you could go to the doctor for.
Right. You could get a diaphragm if you didn't want to get pregnant, whatever. Yeah. Or you just had the kid. I don't know.
Yeah. The pregnancy was the much bigger fear. So especially for gay men, it was like, what are we worried about?
What do we have to worry about? Yeah. And then, you know, obviously it became a much bigger conversation with AIDS. And then it was sort of like no glove, no love.
Yeah. And then it kind of flipped around in the 1990s. Condoms were more standard in porn, but there were still outliers making bareback films like Treasure Island Media, Spunk Video, Lucas Entertainment. And I didn't know this fact, but Belle Ami, who we have talked about in the Check episode, were one of the first companies to introduce standardized testing.
Oh, right.
For HIV and other communicable diseases before they would ask their or allow their models to perform in bareback scenes.
Because there was sort of people operated as if everyone had HIV. Yeah.
Well, there was also some of these companies were using something called serosorting.
Yes.
Stemming from the HIV, like serostatus, which refers to the presence or the absence of the serological marker for HIV in the blood. So they would be like, let's put the HIV positive models together and the negative, and like, which is really an interesting,
and that's also why
ethical
kind of like came,
consideration.
The term kind of got like reclaimed because it was like, we can bareback because we both are positive.
Yeah,
you know, so there's like no, you know, no worries there.
It's just interesting to think about it. Like, well, you know. If we're going to be ostracized, we might as well fuck while we're over here on Leper Island.
Right, yeah. I mean,
it's like a little bit of the logic of it.
And then people were worried that, like, it would like, cause, like, a super infection of, like, a, you know.
Yeah. Like, does the virus multiply somehow or, like, gain strength through additional contact or something? Yeah. I mean, there were still a lot of questions about how it worked.
Right. But now, I mean, it is so rare to see condoms. In any porn.
In porn, yeah. They tried to, like, impose that in
California. And now
California,
we have things
we're
like
best of luck.
Truvada, you know, we have PrEP. And, like, it's so, I mean, I can't even imagine, like, in a post-AIDS world, what that
Felt like. Yeah.
You know.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
If your friends are dying, like, left and right.
I mean.
I would be celibate. You know what I mean? Like, I would be terrified.
Yeah.
And so it's a different time.
Right. And even having it, and now you can be on PrEP and, like, have, you know, undetectable means, like, if you are undetectable, you could test positive for it. But if it's, like, undetectable, then you're not going to be untransmittable.
Untransmittable, yeah. Yes. I was like, it's dormant. You can't spread it. Undetectable means untransmittable. I think that's what you were looking for. Yeah. We should also briefly talk about safety while we're covering this in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, like, it's a different time, but it's still, like, important for us to be safe of and course. To get tested and stuff. Do you have a specific methodology that you use?
I use condoms all of the time.
Okay.
I always use condoms.
Do you get tested regularly?
I get tested regularly. I get tested... You know, I mean, I haven't been tested in a few months, but I usually going at least like 2 to 3 times a year.
Yeah.
But I haven't been tested in a few months because I haven't been having sex.
One of the perks.
Yeah. One of the perks. I'm good, you know?
Yeah,
it's been 3 months. I got no signs of nothing, you know?
Yeah.
I can rest easy.
Because I've been like dipping more into the non-monogamous and like play space, Like, I feel like I was lazier about getting tested before or was like, oh, I'm using condoms, it's fine. I'll, like, every, you know, if I have another appointment or if, like, I have my annual, like, I'll get tested and then maybe one other time. But now I'm really trying to do at least, like, 2 or 3 months, which is a little bit tricky. But we did just start working with
No.co,
which is awesome. So I'm thrilled because we've got, like, little boxes coming to our houses. And I can always just, like, prick my finger and not worry about, like... Don't you feel like every time they draw blood, you're like, do you really need that much? Do you need to take, I need that. Like, I need to walk out of here.
It's also like, I mean, I'm thankful for those at-home testing because like going into like, you know, I'll usually just go to a city MD and they're always like, oh, did you recently like have unprotected sex or?
Yeah.
I'm like, why do you need to know?
Yeah.
Like,
a lot of times,
give it to me.
Unless you're going to like a specific kind of clinic.
Yeah.
Like you have to ask for the specific test that you want. I once went into like a clinic that like Oscar Insurance recommended.
Right.
And they were like, this one will cover it. And it was kind of one of those, I don't know what kind of clinic it was, but they literally handed me a piece of paper that was like a menu of like STIs I could get tested for. And I was like, I can't just get a full panel. Like,
they
had prices for, they were like $35 for this one, $65 for this one. And I was like, my insurance should cover this, I thought. And they were like, no, you're going to have to do all of this. So I just got tested for the minimum. And then the insurance was like, oh no, I can cover that. And I was like, why did you send me to a clinic where they didn't know what they...
It's actually incredibly hard to get a full panel.
Yeah.
It's so hard. They will advise against it.
Yes.
Even to get, like, for a herpes test or a HIV test, like, they're like...
They advise against it because it's so stigmatized.
Yeah.
And they're like, are you sure you want to do that?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I'm out here fucking. Like, I should do that.
Like, just give it to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And no is full panel.
Yeah. Which is great.
Yeah.
What else was I going to say? Oh, this is kind of wacky for me to learn. So
can't wait.
So I didn't know that this existed, but apparently unprotected anal sex is a risk factor for the formation of anti-sperm antibodies.
Whoa.
So like in some people, like it can cause like infertility. So like it can, like if you have a lot of like.
So if you have a lot of sperm in your ass, your body's like, oh no, like, invader.
Yes.
And sort of creates antibodies for that, but they can also kill your own sperm. We're talking about sperm havers. We're talking about women.
Women.
Okay.
So, like, it can, like, if I'm someone who's getting blasted.
I mean, not to call you out, but you are.
I mean, I'll be honest.
Of the people on the spectrum of, like.
Yes. I mean,
minimum
there was, like, a
maximum anal sex. I think
it was definitely a big loophole of, like, you know, when I was dating someone who was married and it was like, well, I, you know, what's pretty cool is I can come in your ass. And I was like, sick, you know?
Yeah.
So, yes, I am at risk for this. Basically, your body can build up, like, anti-sperm antibodies, which could, like, cause infertility.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, affect the implantation process and the development and the growth of an embryo. So, all my other buttholes, beware. Just know.
Do you usually have unprotected sex anally?
Not usually, no. I'm using condoms, and I did have a partner who I was like, nope. And he's like, your ass too? And I was like, yep, ass too. We're using a condom.
Because I was going to say, like, for safety considerations, if you're like with more than one partner. Also, like,
unless
not for
I'm,
nothing.
Like, if I'm like in a committed monogamous.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then I'm not using condoms.
Yeah.
But like, if it's just like a hookup, like,
yeah,
you know, I just don't trust people.
Yeah.
You know?
But what people don't talk about too is like for anal sex, using a condom can be helpful.
Helpful.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like for cleanup and for like I have a fluid bonded partner.
Right.
And like sometimes we'll just use the condoms for anal sex.
Right.
To just be like, shwink, that go, there goes
that. And
then
that. I can go back in you.
And then you can go back in
it's
another
so
hole
true.
And we don't have to even, you're like, shwink, 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 you know.
We don't have
like,
to worry about BV,
yes,
you know.
Exactly.
Yeast
infection.
Yeah.
UTIs, I Lord
mean,
knows.
The things you don't think about.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did a weird thing.
Okay.
So I looked up like other terms. I love to do this.
I love a list
of other terms of like, you know, to bareback.
Yeah.
I didn't know that raw jaw is a slang term used to refer to oral sex without the use of a condom.
Raw jaw.
Yep.
That's cute.
It's also known as the porn star experience.
What is?
Going bagless. That's also a term. Bareback.
Just bareback in general.
Yeah.
Any
not
hole.
Using a condom. Yeah.
The porn star experience.
Yes. Because
okay.
you don't typically see condoms
in porn. Yeah.
Okay, this one's really bad. It's called the fried banana.
Oh, boy.
It's called when you leave early from the bar with some skank, fuck her bareback, don't clean yourself off, then go home to your girl and fuck her bareback, leaving your dick crusty like a fried banana.
Cool. I didn't need to know that one because I don't plan to do
I know.
That
I mean,
let that happen to me.
But, like, someone took the time
to be like, let's
to write
name,
this.
Yeah.
And give, like, a description and put it on the internet, you know?
Yeah, and the thing is, like, a fried banana is, like, a delicious treat, and...
and now it's ruined for you?
Yeah, I want it. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. it hasn't ruined fried bananas, but I'm like,
right.
you don't get that for mm-hmm. that. You know what I mean?
Right. Happy jacking. It's
a
bottom who combines receptive bareback anal sex with receptive fisting.
Ooh.
It's an underground slang from Sacramento origin.
Happy jacking.
Yes. And then...
And that's just the combination of fisting and
and
raw
and
anal sex.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, this is, it's called the bum spurting limit, or the BSL. And it's the maximum capacity of bareback anal sex cum in the rectum before rupture.
Oh.
And
before
then it says
rupture?
No,
like literally
I don't
just
know.
Before like ripping your ass
I
open.
I guess, but like it says like note, BSL, I would say before leakage, you know?
Yeah.
Note, BSL is not to be confused with Bachelor of Science in Law. Thank God.
Important note. Although you could have both.
Right.
You could dabble in both.
I think we all have a BSL. I think we all have a bum spreading limit. I do.
And do we all have a friend with a BSL? You know, I probably know a BSL with a BSL.
Yeah.
You know?
Of course.
Wow, I love a list. Great, uh-huh. great terms.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'm going to clock a couple of those for later.
Showdown. Should we do the showdown?
Should we do the showdown?
Bareback between friends. So nice.
It's sweet.
Yeah. I like anything between friends, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some friends you fuck, some friends you bareback, sometimes friends you fuck with barriers,
yes.
you know? As
some
long as you're
you
communicating
fuck.
About
yeah,
it. Sometimes you don't fuck and you're just friends.
And you're just friends.
Ding. White trash raw fuck. Hot male getting
Whoa.
Into the tailed blonde.
The tailed blonde.
Yeah, think about bareback and then a tail. She's automatically just become like a deer creature.
Yeah, wait. So does she have like a plug, like a tail with a plug?
I don't know.
We don't know. Or do we just mean tail as the colloquialism for butt?
Yeah, just a like a blonde with a
got
an
some
ass.
Tail. Yeah, I don't
yeah.
know. This one straightforward bareback homosexual sex.
So sweet.
Really
just bareback homosexual sex.
Yeah, really descriptive.
Just
you
nice
know what
and
I'm
clean.
For?
Yeah. This one, fucking ex raw to get pregnant.
Oh, sure.
We didn't talk about breeding as like a subsection
oh, sure.
Of bareback.
Of barebacking.
Should
yes.
be known to our listeners that breeding in the gay space also is like breeder can be like a term, like a sort
right.
of insult even, like
right.
a I don't think you can call it a slur when the margins are yeah. where they are, but, you know, like
yeah.
calling straight people breeders
right.
is a term, but breeding in porn is like the equivalent to a cream pie.
Yes.
It's, you know, pretending.
I want to breed you.
I want to breed you.
Wanna,
hot, yeah. yeah. Like,
I do
play
find
on
it
getting
hot
someone
when people
pregnant.
Are like, the idea of like saying, like, I want to put a baby in you. It's hot to me.
That's hot to you.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
See, I think it would only be hot to me if I was gay and there was no possibility. Like someone being like, I want to put a baby in you is probably like the least hot thing they could say.
Well, sure, yeah.
It's like, gluh, like yeah. It has too much danger and too much like, what do you want to do? Like you want to.
I mean, it's intimate. I guess I'm just like what I'm looking for right now in my life.
But you are like legitimately looking for a baby.
Yes!
I mean, you are looking to do that eventually.
Does someone have one?
Just a baby. You don't need to fuck me. I'll just take the baby.
Yeah.
And then the cops showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. I get why that would sort of be hot to you, but I imagine like with an emotional attachment yes. and possibility.
Not a stranger. A stranger cannot say that to me.
Or just a first time fuck.
Nope.
No, thank you.
No.
Even my most intimate partners, if they said that, I'd be like, what? What is this joke we're making? Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Because I don't ever want a baby,
right,
you see.
Sure.
And it doesn't feel taboo in a hot way. It feels like a weird joke.
Yes.
Or I'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Sorry? No,
hold
no.
on. Pause.
No, thank you.
Yeah, time
no
out.
Thanks. Yeah.
Okay, modern day sins. Bareback anal with friend's big dick helps her through tough times. Interracial. I thought about maybe not saying the last part, but
we got to be honest about what the porn space
is. It is part of it.
Sometimes,
yeah,
that's just what they shove in your face, you know.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay.
A
lot there, a lot there.
Yeah.
Just a whole treasure trove of problem areas and the things that porn exposes about our delicious society. Next door, raw cheating, raw style. In the next room, sorry.
Sorry. Something tells me they're not, you know?
No.
Yeah.
No. Also, like, raw style, the next room, sorry. Like, all that in sort of one breath is disorienting for sure.
Okay, last one for me. The bareback necessities. So good. It's so good, you know?
Oh, it's violating.
Yeah.
Because now I'm just imagining
the
those.
Bareback necessities.
The bearer back necessities.
Forget about your worries and your strife.
Okay, I have one more, although it would have been amazing if you went in the song.
Okay.
But I do have to say this one because it deserves to be said.
Say it.
Getting fucked raw by a big dick bottom. I make him so hard in the cock, he is able to fuck me. Comment, like, subscribe, and add me as a friend for more personalized videos and real-life meetups.
Wow. That is someone who is making a good use of space, you know?
They are making every character count.
Yeah. And they're saying, you know, they're
fucked
like, hey.
Fucked by a raw dick bottom. Interesting.
Right.
I make him so hard he is able to fuck me. We all know that can be a challenge.
True.
Important detail. Mm-hmm. Dick is hard enough for anal. And then just a lot of requests, you know, about ways to engage with this creator.
There's a scent of desperation there that is just like turning me off, I'll say.
Is it a scent or is it like a stench? Is it overwhelming the room?
See?
Is it like a cloud of desperation that suffocates?
Yeah.
I think maybe the latter.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back.
To talk about porn?
Crazy.
Question mark.
Okay, so I found this
gem.
Yeah, it was like, it's a
little nugget of the internet.
Sometimes, like, I want to give views to the people who, like, make the time to, like, create this porn, which is just, like, anime. It's a fan-made content. It's, like, a parody. You know, they, like, they put the effort in to create this. What's the word I'm looking for? Anime, I guess. Like this animation.
It's anime, but like it's also not what you're picturing when you say
it's
anime.
Like, yeah. I'm like,
it's
how
not
do you describe
illustrated.
It?
Yeah. This is computer generated animation.
I guess it's just like,
and it feels the world feels like
it
we're
feels
living
a little bit like
in
the Sims. Yeah, it feels like the Sims.
But we're also like we've all seen the ads for the like hyper slimy glossy.
Yeah.
Human animal.
Right.
Sometimes it's a chick with a dick with massive.
It's like
tits.
Play this game. You'll come in 3 minutes.
It's really where like the extremes of
what
our
type
porn
of
imaginations.
I mean,
go.
It's computer generated, but I mean, yeah, there's like a word I'm sure that like
it's kind of digital
it.
Animation. Yeah. I don't quite know what to call it, but I think that anyone who's been on the aggregates is starting to visualize what we mean.
Right. It's called Heroes April Fools. Katsuki Bakugo and Izuku Midoriya, My Hero Academia 3D Animation Parody.
And I will add that there's a title card in here that calls it April's Fool.
Yep.
And we have that in the subtitles as well. So we have some really delicious language barriers here.
Yeah. Okay, so we have Llama Delge. That's who created this. It's,
great.
It's their artwork. We open on a gentleman, tapping away on his keyboard. He's watching some porn.
Great.
And another guy comes in. He's like, hey, Deku, can you help me? The washer isn't working. And he's like, and it's like, we've got this wonderful royalty-free music that I've definitely used before. And he's like, yeah, let me help you, Kachan. And he goes to the washer and he takes a look
inside.
Bends
over and gets inside, because we all know how to fix a washer,
right.
And this has definitely happened before.
He's like, did someone turn the light off inside the washer machine? And then he said, oh, did someone pull the plug? And then the other guy just starts fucking him.
Yeah, I have a couple questions right off the bat. First, do most people have like a light up washer?
Right. I was like,
do most people have a light inside their washer?
It looks
washer?
Like he's like, yeah, it's like he's in a tunnel.
Second, do you want the washer on while you're inside of it?
Right. Like, how would you know what's not working from inside that part?
Yeah.
You know, like, I think you'd have to go around from, but that just really like cracks open the whole stuck porn in general.
Yeah.
So then he just starts fucking him and it's like, April's fool, you nerd.
Yeah. He's like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, April's fool, you nerd.
And it gets this wonderful, like.
Yeah. So to be clear, we're not getting spoken dialogue.
No, this is all.
We're getting subtitles. So we just have like weird stock music and then.
The gushing. Yeah.
And then subtitles that tell us what they're saying to each other. And then he flips him around.
Yeah, I was going to say, he obviously is into it because he willingly changes position.
Yeah.
And then
this is just a game they play.
Yes,
this is just how
the
they initiate
pans
sex.
Out, and we just have a woman knitting who's watching this. And she's like, these dumbasses again.
End of film.
End of porn.
Is it a series, do you think, is like the lead in, like she's going to get involved next?
Maybe.
Like we needed a cliffhanger because I mean, if it is knitting, following the anime genre, we have to end with something big that leads us into the next one.
That brings us back. Yeah.
The knitting isn't exactly active.
Right.
It's not giving tells me potential that sex
that
partner.
Not ready to have sex if they're knitting.
They're busy.
Yeah.
She's busy.
That's like a different state of mind.
So this is just like one of those cases where it's just fascinating to see what the internet
and it's
is
like,
up to.
I found this and I have to talk about it.
Yeah. We just need to say it out loud. Yeah. We just need to let it exist outside of our brains and our experience of watching it.
I also have to make someone else watch it.
Yeah.
With
if
me.
We watch this, you have to hear about it.
Yeah.
But Rachel saw it, was like, hey, actually, instead of that 22 minute video you already watched, do you want to just squeeze these 2 minutes in before recording? And I was like, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Anytime we can find anything this chaotic online.
Worth it.
Which, like, who made this?
Yes.
How does this exist?
Right. I'm
going to
give them
my view.
We may
never really know.
You know?
Yeah. This is probably where more porn is going because it's going to be more and more AI-generated stuff where you can just, like, give a prompt.
And then it just creates.
To software and it makes this.
Yeah.
But,
call me old-fashioned.
I feel like this predates that. I mean, certainly this was like created with some kind of programming and like somebody's animation software, but like what this person did with their imagination is fascinating.
Shouldn't go unnoticed.
It deserves recognition. Yes. I wouldn't say acclaim.
No.
Acknowledgement.
Yes.
We need to acknowledge these things in our travels.
Yes.
Right?
Okay, should we talk about big game?
Let's talk about big game.
Okay, not the kind of big game you're thinking of.
And is it a big game?
We're not hunting big game. No, it's okay.
Not big game. It's also not the big game.
Yes.
It's not like the Super Bowl.
It's not the Super Bowl. This is from Helix. And also shout out to our intern, Matt. This is in his spank bank.
And he did want you to know that.
Yeah. So this is from Helix Studios. It stars Joey Mills, Corbin Colby, Luke Wilder. And they're playing pool. That's the game. And as someone who plays a lot of pool.
No, they're not.
They're horrible. And this guy is, you know, Corbin does like a really shitty break. And then Luke tries to like get something in. I mean, it's taking them forever to like even get a ball in. And I was like, there's nothing more like disappointing to me than when someone has like a really floppy weak bridge. You know what I mean? So I'm like watching him and I'm like, oh, like get some fucking structure there, be stable.
Hold,
you know,
that cue like you mean it.
Yes.
It's not a great setup for like the dick work.
Yeah,
you know, you want to think these people have excellent dexterity.
Exactly. And then Joey's like kind of sitting there watching and he's like giving Luke some eyes and he's got like a little, maybe it's because I saw Dune 2 last night, but he's got a little Timmy Chalamet vibe. And then they just kind of like get up and go in the other room and like leave Corbin, and Corbin's like, you know, sinking balls left and right. He's like, hey, Luke, it's your turn. And I was like, I would be so mad if this happened to me when I was like playing
Finish
pool.
The game.
I'd be like, okay, well then I fucking won. It's my table now.
Yeah.
And then they start hooking up and he like, Luke is, you know, wearing some Calvins. Joey's doing my favorite thing, which is like, you know, giving his dick attention like over the underwear.
Mm-hmm.
Love. And then, you know, we just kind of get like a threesome. Like it's a little more like Joey and Luke at first. Corbin sees what's going on. He kind of joins in.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, he goes skiing. He's like sucking both dicks at once.
Yeah. It quickly becomes a threesome starring Joey as our kind of unicorn because he wasn't in the game to begin with.
Right.
And like, so he gets spit roasted. He's sucking both dicks.
Right.
Like it kind of takes on that dynamic after Corbin comes over. Is like, hey, can I play too?
Yeah. And I just was like, because I can't help myself, I'm like, where are we? You know what I mean? Like I was
I was like, and someone comes into this third floor game room and like a luxury building in downtown LA. Yeah, like, doesn't it just feel like this is a shared space?
It does.
But like, we happen to be the ones where like inevitably someone comes through, be like, hey, are you gonna watch the game? Like, put something else on.
This is what happens on boys' weekends. You know?
Yeah.
But then in the comments, it's just like they're at the Helix Mansion. You know?
Okay.
I was like, okay, so this is just, it's made for this.
This
actually
is a contained set. I see.
And it's like, you know, it's pretty like, it's not too risque. There's nothing like too kinky or crazy that happens. It's like a good, straightforward.
It's such
nice,
a very sweet threesome.
Bareback, you gay know? Porn. You know.
Yeah.
I do have to say I loved that. Like they like at the end, it wasn't as vocal as I like my porn to be, but at the end we got a little bit more like I'm gonna come, oh come for me. You know.
It was a lot of not talking based on the scenario. Like, a lot of just, like, suddenly, silently fucking.
Right.
And sort of walking that weird line of, like, do we know if Corbin knows? Are they sort of doing it secretly or not? Like, it wasn't quite shot in a way that was clear.
Yeah.
So when Corbin finally came over and was like, hey, can I play? I was like, okay, so they are just in the same room.
Yes.
And he's just tossing aside the pool game.
I guess
we are, you know?
My favorite part, I have to say, is, like, after everyone comes, is they all make out.
Yeah.
And I love kissing.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that. I guess it's an interesting.
We'll talk about that in another episode. Yes. We have another episode to shoot.
Yes, where,
like, similarly, kissing. It's like.
Yeah.
Especially a no-homo makeout.
After an ejaculation.
Yeah.
You know? It's like you seal it with a kiss.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it doesn't count, in my opinion. But yeah. No, I liked this video. I thought it was hot. I would have loved a little bit more dynamic of, like, yeah, like, what's the relationship between the three of them?
Mm-hmm.
Are they just all just hanging out because they are sex workers and they're at the Helix Mansion and they just decided to have fuck, you know?
Yeah.
But I would have loved a little bit more, you know, what can I say?
Just a little.
Some dynamic, some relationship.
Just a little kinkier, some more story.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny to watch, like, sort of vanilla gay porn. And it'd be like.
Sorry, Matt.
You know? No, listen, but it's like.
Right, but you can feel good about
totally
it. It's
totally fair. Like, there's nothing wrong with vanilla. A tasty vanilla is a delicious flavor.
I've got some vanilla in my spank bank, too.
But I do think it's like worth mentioning because you sort of assume, like, because gay is the marginalized sexuality, but is also like a major marginalized sexuality that we like associate it. Like, I think about this too. Like, you get further to the fringes.
Yes.
And you suddenly start to absorb, like, kinkier stuff or, like, try edgier things.
Right.
And suddenly you're, like, sitting on your couch in full kink gear.
Right.
People over for group sex. And you're like, who did I become?
You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
That, like, it's interesting that, like, there's gay culture that, like, doesn't necessarily involve cock and ball torture or leather or kinky implements.
Right.
Just like three gay guys fucking.
Having a good time.
And we don't need props.
Yes.
You know, like, we don't need to complicate it with all this other stuff. Like, just our bodies and
we don't even need a condom.
Yeah. Clearly. Yeah. Hence the genre.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to, neither of these are going to my spank bank, but they are in Matt's, and that's important too.
I definitely won't put April's Fool in my spank
that one's
bank.
Not I can't speak for him on that one.
But I actually would put the big game in. So, it wasn't an insult that it was vanilla. It's just like, gay guys having mainstream porn sex.
Nice sex.
That happens to be gay.
Yeah. Sure.
You know?
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being vanilla. No, it's a delicious flavor. And they're handsome boys.
Yeah.
I didn't need the whole setup.
Right.
I'm happy to just, like, get into sex.
Yeah.
But it was hot sex when we got there.
Right.
And I like to watch group stuff online too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, hey. Thanks so much for listening to Girls on Porn. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at Girls on Pern. That's porn without the O. On our YouTube, youtube.com/@GirlsOnPern. On Patreon, patreon.com/girlsonporn. And on our website, girlsonporn.com.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. And if you want to leave us a cheeky little 5-star review.
Why not?
Feel free to include your Instagram handle so that we can tag it and thank you.
This has been Girls on Porn, the only GOP that's actually any good.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.